are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Brian from Huntsville checked in and says, actually, thanks to Biden-Harris inflation, I've heard the rumor is it's now called a dollar bag. And then Brian from Decatur again, he goes, it's not a nickel bag, it's a dime bag, it's a $50 bag with today's inflation. Okay, that's my last dance with Mary Jane. I am done now. You just never know where things are going to go sometimes when you open up Pandora's box. Let me jump in. Dipper number one. You ready? Let's get back to business. Kamala Harris. Black dudes need marijuana. That's her vote getter. It's awful. All right. Anyway, let's jump in. First Dipper here for the kids. Let's take a variety of taxi. I've got stuff in my stack here. I'm looking at things related to school choice. I'm looking at things related to teachers' unions and who they endorse. I'm looking at things related to what's happening with transgenders participating in girls' sports in high schools. I'm looking at things about what's being taught about our history in schools across the United States. And I've also got a call coming up with Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty, who's going to enlighten us. You may want to know about this. Like, okay, here we are banning divisive concepts. Who thought that we needed to talk about what school guidance counselors are able to talk about? Because apparently it gets a little dicey. So first thing first, let's talk with school choice. Now remember, here's the argument for school choice. The argument is if you're dealing with, let's say you wind up and you're standing there, you know, in the fast food line, and someone turns around and sees your Right Side Ruffian t-shirt, and they say, well, I'm a member of the teachers' union, and I take issue with that Right Side Ruffian dogma about school choice. All right, fine. Here's all you got to do. Ask them two questions. When it comes to school choice, it is just two questions. The first one is this. Who, in your opinion, is best suited to make decisions about a child's education? The parents or the government? If you believe that the best is the decision is to be made by the parents, you're automatically for school choice. If you believe it's the government, then you're not. Here's the next question. What are the tax dollars that are paid into the system for education for? Are they there to feed the system or to educate the child? If you believe those tax dollars are to feed the system, then you're not for school choice. If you believe those tax dollars are there to educate the child, no matter what school they go to, no matter how the parents make the decisions, if you believe that they're to educate the child, you're automatically for school choice. So it's really about two questions, and that's your rebuttal. If somebody says, I don't know about the school choice stuff, I heard they're going to destroy public education, I'm afraid that the teachers union says, all right, if you get in one of those conversations, ask them those two questions. Who is best suited to make decisions about a child's education, parents or the government, and what are the tax dollars for, feeding the system or educating the child? Everything revolves around those two questions. And then here's the other thing. Don't you think as parents make their decisions, they should have some, you know, I don't know, maybe right to be concerned about things that are happening in public schools these days? Because what happened during COVID was that parents everywhere didn't just wake up to it, they were actually able to see it clearly. Because what's happening more and more, right? And by the way, there are some great, wonderful, godly, called educators. I mean, they are called. This is their calling. They are doing what they are doing to educate our kids with a love for our kids and a love for education that is absolutely on par with what you would want, right? But if you look around, you'll also find that more and more we're starting to see that in some of the places that have always been somewhat sacred, we're finding activists. Activists in our libraries, go figure. Activists certainly in our school systems, activists on our school boards, activists in the people who make the educational materials like, you know, textbooks and things for kids. It's amazing. I mean, they are out there right now with an agenda that has nothing to do with your kids. It has to do with what they can do with your kids. And that's absolutely wrong. If a person is going into the education arena with the intent to, you know, teach social culture and social justice, and I'm going to make sure they understand these things about stuff in life. And if their parents don't like it, well, that's not their role. I'm the one who's supposed to be there to teach these kids these things they got to know. That doesn't relate to reading, writing, and arithmetic. But if that's your role, you need to be called out and called out hard. Now, right now, just so you know, school choice is on the ballot in multiple states. Kentucky is a hard-fought battle right now. So in Kentucky, the state legislature actually passed a school choice bill only to have the teachers union and I believe the ACLU take it to court and fight it. And they unfortunately won because the Kentucky Supreme Court ruled that the bill was unconstitutional. Why? Why was it unconstitutional? Well, so legally speaking, I haven't seen the ruling or read the constitutional provision myself, but I just know from my own experience in the legislature that if your state constitution says something is what it is, then you have to have a bill passed by the legislature followed by a referendum of the people to amend the constitution. That's what they're doing now. They are that intent upon moving forward. And oh, by the way, don't forget they've got a Democrat governor who's opposed to school choice. So in Kentucky, supporters of school choice here, I pulled this off the Arkansas Advocate. I will go anywhere and everywhere to get resources to help y'all have your arguments with liberals. So supporters of school choice, says the Arkansas Advocate, Dateline yesterday, are hoping that voters will do what the state courts would not, allow a new path for state-supported payments to go to private schools. All right, that's the scary argument. We can't do that. That's a private school getting public tax dollars. No, that's a parent making a decision for their child and then allowing them the use of the taxes they paid into the system to have their child educated in a place they've deemed best. That's what it is. That's what it is. Kentucky is one of three states, along with Colorado and Nebraska, with school choice questions on the ballot this fall. Voters will be asked to decide, whether or not public money ought to be allowed to go to private education. Opponents say the measures would undermine public schools by shifting money away from them. Let me ask you something. If you don't have the kid, why do you have to have the money? Well, parents can go to private school now if they want to. What if they can't afford it? Well, it's still their choice. Yeah, but if they can't afford it, then why do you... If they can find a way to get their kid out of the public school into a private school, then why do you need to keep the money for educating the kid who's no longer there? Oh, you see how conflated this thing gets when you realize their arguments are hollow? We're going to do more of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a brand new texter in the line. I saw JP just asked him what his last name's initial is because we got multiple mics from Huntsville. So brand new mic from Huntsville. Welcome to us. He says, talking about Kamala Harris's book earlier, being AI-generated, it wasn't AI-generated. It was written, and then AI is what determines she had plagiarized certain portions of it. Says, those AI detectors can't be trusted, he says. Can't be trusted. Most of the detectors have flagged the entire U.S. Constitution as being almost definitely AI-generated. Okay, I don't know. Source New York Post, he says. Listen, I don't know if we're talking about the exact same thing, but what I'm saying is, her script has been determined, her book has been determined, the manuscript, to have been plagiarized from other sources is what we're saying.
Yeah, I think in his sense, the AI is, in the way he's talking about it, he's right, can't be trusted in that way. But in the sense of telling if something's plagiarized, AI can pull stuff from the internet everywhere and see if it matches with it, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, in the way of AI determining if something's AI generated, I would agree, but that's not exactly what this is. It's not the same thing.
Not quite, but still, welcome to the text lines and give us your last initial so we can plug you in and differentiate you from all the other mics. So I'm back on this first dipper for the kids. And don't forget, bottom of the hour, we'll have Emily Jones on to give us some really interesting insight she just developed on what's happening with school counselors. But school choice is only one way of taking care of kids, because what it does is it puts the value on the child. Think about that. School choice puts the value on the child. Those who oppose school choice value the system more than the child. They value the school system, the government system, more than the child. Those who are pro-school choice are asking for parents to have a right in the say as to what happens to their kids, and it values the child as the primary concern in all issues related to funding and resourcing for education. Now, I mentioned earlier that we got school choice on the ballot in three states. Kentucky is having a bit. By the way, Kentucky legislature, they've been game on this. They've been not idle. They passed their state law. It was vetoed by the governor. They overrode the governor's veto. It then went to court. The Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional. They came back and passed it again, and now they put a ballot referendum on the ballot for voters to have a say. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, he's also been working hard on school choice. Texas has school choice, but he had a ballot initiative that there were Republicans that opposed, and so he led a multi-million-dollar political offensive that resulted in six Republican House members who opposed school choice being defeated in their primaries this year. Whew, gotta love that. And then you look at what's happening around the nation, but you have to also look at what's happening in the current political environment. If we're going to say it's for the kids, if we're going to talk about what's for the kids, then let's take a look at who is for Kamala and Tim Walz and who's not. So just recently, story later on Fox News came out right at 6 weeks ago. A national parents group grades both Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz as an F on school choice. So if school choice is about what's best for the child, if school choice is about allowing parents to have a say, and Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz are getting an F from school choice advocates, what does that tell you? So the group's called Invest in Education. They announced their grades for the Democrat ticket, saying that it was a well-documented record of siding with teachers' unions and opposing expansion of parental choice in K-12 education. That's it in a nutshell. But the NEA, the National Education Association, which is, by the way, just the things that they support just make you wonder if the rank and file even knows what their dues are going to. I mean, if you go and read the platform of the National Education Association, oh, by the way, the Alabama Education Association is a subchapter of the NEA. So if you're an Alabama teacher and you're paying dues to the AEA, a portion of those dues then go to the NEA because they are affiliated. And if you're doing that, understand this. The agenda of the NEA is one of the most heinous, liberal, progressive organizations out there. And the NEA, by the way, has gone on record to give Vice President Harris an A. Well, go figure. By the way, in 2017, while she was still in the U.S. Senate, Harris opposed a bill that was promoting school choice for low-income families at the national level. The bill was championed by Trump and his education secretary, Betsy DeVos, but she was against it. She always has been. They also rate this group, same group, another group, Ed Choice is another group, says Tim Walz has a history of not supporting educational choice in Minnesota. He's always declined meetings with educational choice parents advocates. So the bottom line is this. If it's for the kids, then you have to look at it and go, okay, well, then who's running for office right now? Trump was pushing a school choice opportunity around the nation. Kamala Harris, absolutely opposed to it. Now, let me say this. If we're going to talk about for the kids, let's talk about other things that our kids face right now, a lot of which happens through our school systems. Kind of like, okay, issues in schools are not just about education. And oh, by the way, issues in schools are not just out there somewhere else. Did you know? I didn't. Till this morning, I did not know this. I like to think that I'm somewhat well-read, and as much as I prepare for this show every day, I don't know how I missed this. But in August of this year, it was announced that the very first school to be investigated by the Federal Office of Civil Rights for discrimination against transgenders is in Shelby County, Alabama. Did not know this. Shelby County, Alabama. By the way, Shelby County, Alabama is about as red as red can get. Shelby County, Alabama is, you know, the home of places like, I think Leeds is in Shelby County. I mean, you got great communities right there. I've been in court down in Shelby County. It's a very, typically a very conservative, very up-and-coming It's one of the growth sectors of the state. But Shelby County, a federal investigator called this case a high-profile one. Why? What, pray tell, was happening? Well, a mother complained. Get this. A mother alleged that a teacher at the school denied a student placement in a school program due to, quote, homophobic bigotry because the student didn't, quote, date guys and likes girls. I don't know if that's all you got. What we have here is what we know about it is now an open formal investigation was started by the federal government against a school. They chose the reddest state they could find in one of the reddest counties they could find, and they went after it. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't all of the consent decrees against Alabama education and voting, weren't they fought from the Shelby County, successfully fought from Shelby County? I believe they were. Is this payback? I believe it might be. The case marks the first time that officials have used an expanded understanding of the new Title IX regulations that specifically protect students who are LGBTQ. What that basically means is, under the Biden-Harris administration, it has become apparent that if you are not on board with the LGBTQ agenda, that you are a target. Shelby County, Alabama gets to be the first. Now, crazy thing is, apparently the girl has already graduated, and apparently the teacher that was being complained of has already retired, and the case is still ongoing because they want to prove a point. The Alabama State Department of Education does not have any particular policies or supports in place to specifically protect LGBTQ students, says AL.com, the most liberal rag of news around the state. And I'll also point out this. It says in here, only 3% of LGBTQ students in Alabama reported being in a school that had a comprehensive bullying policy. I got news. Bullying is bullying. It doesn't matter what your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter how you identify. If someone's being bullied for any reason, we actually do have policies. What they really want is they want their own policy. Let's be clear. We have anti-bullying in every school district. It is not allowed. It is frowned upon. It is supposed to be stopped already. Just because you don't have one that says, and oh, by the way, we specifically mean don't bully LGBTQ kids. If you have to have your name attached to it, your identity attached to it, then what you're really asking for is your victimhood to be identified. You're not asking for an anti-bullying. The anti-bullying policy exists already. It's not enough. It's never enough. They need their own. Before I go to the break, I'll just tell you this. We're seeing this kind of stuff happening left and right. For the kids, I mean, how about this? Let's take care of the kids. Let's stop portraying that it's okay for certain things. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I did see, gosh, which school was it? Was it Utah? But anyway, San Jose State has a transgender, a guy that plays girls volleyball. Multiple colleges have now forfeited the games against them because they refuse to play against a biological male. I just saw, and I'm trying to think which school it was. Did you see it?
I believe it was Nevada, but I may
was
not.
Was it Nevada?
Yeah.
And the girls on the volleyball team all wore shirts that said boycott, and it says boy in capital letters, like boycott. And they're basically saying, we're not going to play against dudes. We're not here to play against dudes. In New Hampshire right now, a judge is allowing a transgender teenager, it's a guy who wants to play girls soccer. They're allowing him to continue to play. U.S. District Court of New Hampshire issued a 2-week extension just a couple of weeks ago that temporarily blocks a new law in the state against from being put into effect while they basically pursue an appeal on it. It's House Bill 1205 in New Hampshire. And listen, they're never satisfied, and they will not be satisfied. It's going to be important that we continue to stand. It's for the kids. I mean, if we're looking at what is reasonable, what is right, do you want a biological male playing soccer against your daughter? Do you want a biological male using your daughter's girls' room? Do you want to know that parents have a say in things? Do you, oh, by the way, do you want to know that your tax dollars are priority one for educating your child as opposed to feeding the beast of the system? It's for the kids. Let's keep the kids the centerpiece of all of it. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. I'll come back and put a wrap on this, and then Emily Jones is calling in at 3:30. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. So Benji from Hackleberg just checked in. He says, since the leftists are so determined to have a transgender playing sports, the most logical thing to do would be to have their very own trans class of sports. It'd be men's, women's, and trans. That way they can compete against all the other weaker classes of people. Yeah, but the only thing is, though, Benji, who's paying for it? I mean, I don't necessarily want my tax dollars going to have to, you know, set up an entirely, you know, new round of sports equipment and uniforms and field time and all of it. And then just so they can have their own. I mean, it just, anyway, I get it. I hear what you're saying. Oh, look, Yellow Dog Mike is here. What Yellow Dog Mike from Huntsville's having to say? He says, school choice is a plot to destroy public schools and fund religious schools. You want to send your kid to those schools? Go ahead, but without taxpayer funds. Alabama passed the bill supporting that choice in the dead of night with subterfuge. The dead of night with subterfuge. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, dude, they were actually voting in the daylight after having multiple public hearings, debates on the floor of the House and the Senate, press conferences. The bill was available for everybody to read, offer opportunities for change in the committee process, an amendment on the floor even, and dark of night. But here's the other thing, Yellow Dog Mike, don't send them there with taxpayer funds. So what you're saying is the people who have kids didn't pay taxes, that they have a right to the use of their tax dollars? Is that not the way it works? Tax dollars are just there to feed the system, Mike? Is that what you're saying? Yellow Dog Mike just walked right into that trap with his mouth wide open. We got somebody named Kano from Layton, Alabama, says, at Muscle Shoals High School in 1995, we had one guy come out as gay. He only got bullied for one day because his cousin and half the football team let it be known that bullying would not be tolerated. We don't need the government to stop bullying, just good-natured people. That's a great one. Listen, I'm not for the bullying. I'm not. Now, I don't think that we need to have protected class out of sexual preference, and I certainly don't believe that somebody can declare themselves to be a different biological sex than what they were born as. But I am not for bullying. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they believe. I'm not for bullying. So good on you, Kano, for you know. I hope you were a part of the group that stood up for the individual. There's one other thing I got to say here, too, for the kids. How about in the curriculum? How about the things that are being taught? Not just the environment they're being taught. Which, by the way, if you think for a second that the leftist LGBTQ agenda is not also being taught, you're wrong, because it is. I mean, think about it. Use of pronouns, helping kids transition in schools, the whole thing. But then what about this? I've got a story here from the Daily Wire. Dateline yesterday. More than 100 school districts across the country have, quote, land acknowledgement statements, many of which say the United States was built on stolen land and that the U.S. committed genocide. So what they want to do is they want to teach you from 17 different states that there are literally nothing to be proud about in the way the United States grew. That everything is bad because there were people here before us, and I understand that. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not denigrating any of the indigenous people. But you know what? It was Columbus Day. It was not Indigenous Peoples Day. It's Columbus Day. That's the way Congress passed it. And Columbus actually found land that nobody from Europe had been to before. I cannot account for things that happened hundreds of years ago, but I can tell you this. Focusing on the idea that America is somehow, you know, depraved or not worthy, and that claiming, and oh, by the way, portraying to students, you're on stolen land, you have nothing to be, you're part of the oppressive society, the systemically racist America. That kind of crap's being taught right now in public schools. 17 different states, 100 school districts around the United States are teaching and promoting the idea that the United States of America has nothing to be proud of because it's an oppressive colonial, you know, systemically racist foundations that denigrate anything that we have today. Unbelievable. All right, coming up after this, Emily Jones is calling in from Moms for Liberty. She wrote a piece that came out on 1819 News. You can find it at 1819news.com. We're going to talk to her because she's identified something that, as much as I've been around, I was really not tracking this, and she really put a beat on it. There is an organization within our school systems that's pretty radical. We'll talk about it for the kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Don't argue with me. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I told you we're doing this, finishing up this section on For the Kids. We've covered everything from school choice to transgenders in sports, Title IX issues, even content of things that are being portrayed or taught in schools, and then just really what it means for us to put the kids first in the decision-making. Well, so Emily Jones, who's been on the show multiple times, she's the chapter president of the Moms for Liberty chapter out of Madison. Is doing an amazing amount of work, just kind of becoming known in the state in the last year and a half, 2 years, as somebody who gets busy and gets active and gets other people engaged with her. Well, Emily Jones wrote a piece that came out on 1819 News this morning. I saw it and thought, oh, she's got to come on the show. So I called her, and here she is. Emily Jones, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are y'all?
We're good. We are good. Hey, so, you know, as much time as I think I've spent, you know, battling the liberal infrastructure of education in Alabama, I don't think I was aware of ASCA, the ASCA. So go ahead and enlighten the audience because you found something new for me.
Yeah, so, and you proved my point. It doesn't matter how much you've been paying attention to what's going on in our schools. The ASCA is an extremely dangerous organization because no one knows they're there. So no one's looking at them. No one's digging into it. No one's asking questions. None of it. And they're very progressive, very left in their thinking and their philosophy. So the American School Counseling Association, for those not familiar with it, think of like the NEA, right? Like the national organization oversees the teachers all across the country. Well, the ASCA is the exact same thing, only for school counselors. Where the ASCA is extremely dangerous, especially in our state. So they're in every state. Every 50 states, they're in it. Where we're in this very interesting little situation is that they're in every single school. Yeah. And I say they're in every single school because at the State Department of Education, they have they call it a guidebook, a framework for the school counselors programs, and it's for every public school in the state. So ASCA is literally in every single public school in our state, yeah. And no one knows who they are.
Well, so they're there, and the question is, they're there, but what are they doing there? So that's the part that really got me was, like you mentioned, they have an 80-page guidebook, 80-plus mm-hmm. page guidebook, and you went through it. In fact, I love this because I know it to be true of you. You went through it. It says you printed, highlighted, and flagged it.
So I did.
You didn't just look at the cliff notes here. You apparently wore that thing out and then started asking questions.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And all of this stemmed from a very simple question, and this is the importance of parents having conversations with your kids. Alabama is unique in that we're an opt-in state when it comes to mental health programming. Yeah. So when you register your children for school, you have to say, yes, I want my children in mental health programs. I, of course, have never opted my child into it, and I've had the conversations with him to explain to him, you're not going in, here is why. So when he came home from school last year, he knew he wasn't supposed to be going to this class, and he told me, hey, guess what happened today? So it all stemmed from my son coming home from third grade one day and said, hey, this happened and it's not right. Mm. So I started digging and asking questions, and the counselor, and she's a lovely lady. I don't mean any ill will towards her, but she's the one that pointed me to this 90-page guidebook, and I start going through it and highlighting and questioning and all this. And as I dig into that, I'm learning more about the ASCA and just the radical ideologies they're pushing. I mean, they're pushing gender-affirming care all the way down at elementary age. They're pushing anti-racism. They're pushing Gleason, if anyone remembers them, with Target. I mean, it's very radical stuff. And that organization is literally the organization that's training my son's counselor on the objectives that she's supposed to be teaching to the kids every single year.
Yeah, it's amazing. And by the way, when you said a minute ago, anti-racism, it's not that we're saying that they need to teach racism, but they're teaching a version of anti-racism that's more akin to critical race theory. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah, it's one of the resources they have on there is to Abram Kendi, who wrote the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, which is the whole oppressor, all that stuff. There's a whole thing in there about George Floyd, and they celebrated the verdict of the Michael Chauvin, how do we say his last name, the police officer. They celebrated that and said, this is still not good enough. We've got more work to do. So it's radical stuff they've got out there.
When they produce this handbook, I mean, obviously, it gets in the hands of the counselors. It's out there. And granted, they have they can choose to disregard. But is this a certifying? Do they certify their membership? Do you pay dues to this thing? I mean, how far does this go?
So you can become a dues paying member. You can be a free one, which is what I am, and you find lots of info that way too.
Oh wow!
I sat through a webinar the other day that was talking about Title IX, and one of the counselors from Tennessee questioned, what about when you have these really strong laws within the state, red state, and the facilitator, whoever it was, honest to God, said, these laws are really unfortunate. And there's
really
the laws that Alabama has. Very really? Unfortunate. We try to find a way to work around them. It's what they told the counselors. Being a member is really beneficial. You learn a lot. You can be a free member, you can be a paying member, and then there is some level of certification. I've not dug into it because obviously I'm not doing it. But here's a fun one. The Alabama Board of Education awarded like a counselor of the year, I think it was back in the spring, they're ASCA certified. I mean, all of them that I saw that were even nominated or have been recognized at the state level over the past, year and a half, 2 years, they were all ASCA certified counselors.
So are you getting any feedback at all when you ask these questions? I mean, I know that you have been able to implant yourself into their ranks, and you're basically getting a chance to sort of, look underneath the tablecloth and see what's going on. But are you asking questions and getting any response at all by asking them?
Not really. No, I at a local level, I've asked a lot of questions specific to their guidebook because you've got the national that flows to the state, that flows to the district, and then down to the individual school. So I've asked questions around the district level guidance because they do have a district coordinator per law from 2 years ago. They have to have a mental health coordinator in each district. So that's who I've directed all my questions to. And when I had the conversation with her, she was just kind of a deer in headlights. I mean, she had no clue. It was very obvious. She was just told, here's the manual, go forth and do.
Wow.
So I don't think they've got a full grasp on it. And that's not to say that I think every counselor out there is pushing all of this. They're not. I mean, I don't think directly that my son's counselor is doing it. But you don't know who the next counselor is going to be. And why is our state allowing this? This is in direct conflict with the various state laws we've passed. This document, that 90-page document, it was passed in 2003. Like, it's been 20 years, and we can't figure out how to update a manual for our schools.
Wow.
We wonder why we're at the bottom of the list when it comes to school success.
That's also called bureaucracy. It's moving at the pace of bureaucracy right there. Well, you keep discovering. So I've noticed that you sleuth things out. And in fact, since we got a couple more minutes, remind folks what you found out about the Chromebook in your child's hands.
Yes, so there is an app called EPIC, E-P-I-C, and it's an online library. Superintendents are not approving this to be on the computers. Principals are not. Teachers are not. It's just there. And I was scrolling through it. My son was in third grade at the time, and I found like a whole genre of LGBT books on there. The principal had no clue that they were even on there, and it was, they were elementary aged books, like A is for Apple, B is for Boy, only T is for teacher, and the teacher's holding a trans flag. So there, it's very radical. There was even a video in there that talked about the history of the gay flag, the pride flag, I guess is what they call it. So, yeah, there's radical stuff everywhere you turn, and teachers don't even know it.
No, and that's the thing, and parents don't even know it. I mean, sometimes the teachers don't, and they're the ones on the inside. You got to wonder how in the world they cannot know. But then the other thing is parents have got to stay engaged. And so if you've taught me anything, it's that we can dig, and then we can even sign up to be a part of things, and we can – I mean, you really have done a lot to even – even me, as you know, I consider myself to be somewhat as an activist, or at least an active person at the very least. But you've taken it to a new level, and I really appreciate you empowering parents to get out there and do that stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I've got tons of information on it. If people want more, I can send them the 4-page notes that I sent to several legislators and somebody else earlier this week. So there's a lot out there, and I'm trying to make it easy for people to get smart on it as quick as they can.
Well, they got to, because it's about our kids, and that's the the main thing. If we keep the focus on the kids, this stuff will get found out, worked out, and thrown out. But in the meantime, Emily Jones, Mom for Liberty, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right, listen, that's just good stuff. I say on the show all the time that, you know, if we do anything on here, it's going to be in what I call the mission and the message. And I want you guys to know the mission and the message is real. I mean, Right Side Media is the company. Right Side Radio is what you're listening to, but Right Side Media is the company. And all of our writings, all of our podcasts, all of our radio, it all revolves around the mission and the message. And the message is, or the mission is, that every single day we want to do what I call the 4 E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative, walk around in today's world. But that's the mission. The mission is driven by the message. And the message is, I just want you to know that every day on this show, we stand for the fact that Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and oh, by the way, life is worth living. And if all those things resonate, then you got to know that what I hope you just heard was part of the 4 E's. I hope you're empowered in some way, or even educated for that matter, about what is happening in your kids' schools. There's an organization I've never even heard of. And I spent 8 years in Montgomery in the state Senate, and I've never even been aware of the ASCA, the American Society for, or American Association for School Counselors. And here they are promoting some of the most progressive liberal dogma that gets into the hands of counselors in every school in the nation, it seems like, and all over Alabama. Well, be educated and be empowered. It takes doing something like what Emily Jones just did, which is start asking questions, getting a hold of the material, dog-earing it herself, and then even signing up to be a quote-unquote free member so she can see exactly what they say during their Zoom calls. Pretty funny. All right, you guys, we're taking a break right now. We're going to come back and change gears, all right? Number 2, Triple Dipper, we're going to jump into the Middle East front lines. Got to know what's going on there because it's biblical stuff. We'll be right back.